webcast. This is PJ, your internet pastor. The one that's going to tell you the truth, bring you the truth, have you floating in the truth. In a sentimental mood in the background, Duke Ellington, John Coltrane, a classic, classic jazz piece. I think if you're going to remember anyone by anything, it should always be the classics. I must say that. I have to share with you what I've been checking out. I've been looking at the news, and first let me go there. Thanks a lot. We'll get back into that later. You know, just turn off my little speaker box and turn off all these things and get a little serious. My studio has never been soundproofed, and so you're going to hear the people working on the garden out there. What grabbed my attention today in the news was Pyongyang threatens H-bomb test over the Pacific Ocean, warning turned totally unacceptable by Japan, even as Kim Jong-un vows to make mentally deranged, Trump pay dearly. You know what? First time in my life that I've ever seen two world leaders, such as one ours, Obama was a dialectic spokesman. Bush was the catalyst that tore us out of where we were, and I'm talking about our country and the way our country did business. All of that's changed. All of that is different now. It's totally different. I want to operate this thing, and I want to operate it so that I can share with you some of the news items that I've been looking at, that that I've been paying attention to today. And I think that there's some pretty interesting news items. Here's one right here coming up. And it says the latest Tillerson cites the strongest North Korean sanctions ever. And so it appears that our president and his cabinet is trying to force the North Koreans into doing something. You know, this is weird. It's like they're forcing the poor North Koreans into doing something that they know that they're going to beat them at. And there's nobody telling Trump to stop this hawkish language. Nobody. I recall when my mind is slipping. The movie star president that we had, Ronald Reagan. You know, a lot of people thought that Reagan was crazy. But
today we're out here with some big news about type 2 diabetes.
I'm sorry.
You have type 2 diabetes, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry. But you know, my computer, things just come on when they want to come on. So I thought that was crazy. Trump and his sanctions, okay. Trump and Kim. Now, this one is interesting. North Korea, Trump and Kim call each other mad. Now, you got two. They are the funniest guys. Funniest guys out there. And when you just look at the pictures of these guys, you would have to say, come on, something's a joke. Somebody's joking. I mean, gosh, you can't be serious. But I guess you can be. I'm speechless. I don't know what to tell you. If you still believe in praying, I don't know what to suggest that you pray. Would you pray that God, in some kind of a miraculous way, changes the hearts of these men? Or, give me my water, excuse me. Or would you do you even pay them any attention? Do you? Because I don't. The news, I was concerned about Puerto Rico and the storm, and of course the Dominican, and I mean these, I find myself interested in, Puerto Rico has no power. They won't have power for days. There's how many millions of people on that island? We can't turn our back on Puerto Rico. And everybody knows where that island came from and what it was there for. I look back at, when you look at these islands in the Caribbean and all that, you're looking back on U.S. history. You're looking back on what the Christian nation did in every conquering of another nation. And a very good way to look at that is the Panama Canal. Not the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal, there's a lot of connivory and shenanigans in that too, when you look at those two canals there. I recall studying about the Suez and the Panama Canal when I was in grade school. And at that time, when I was in grade school, what they were talking about were the great feats of American industry, building these great dams to keep men. And as many times as I have been to Las Vegas, I have never gone to see the dam that's right around the corner. And I used to be amazed by those feats. As I continue to look down and see what's on the news, I see another headline, North Korea. It's always North Korea. North Korea hits a new level of brinkmanship in reacting to Trump. And so they're it's like the whole world are becoming images of this made up TV scenario. You the camera and with the media and you back and forth, because any country can block any story from coming into its home base just by blocking it. Don't think that just because you have an iPhone or a computer or a big screen color television that you can do or see or be anything you want, because they can see you through most of these devices. And when I think about that, the technology, you can be walking around butt naked in your house and those people through those devices can see you. If you have one of those devices in the bedroom and you know how you like to leave it on and you do it, man, all they have to do is just click and they're looking right at you, and then they could film you. And so I don't care who sees me. who would want to see a 73-year-old man anyhow? And if you're looking at me naked, shame on you. But if you're getting a kick out of that, you know, you got to do what you have to do. That's the kind of world I live in. Because everything is a made-up script. It's scripted. A lot of my friends I don't know why they still go to church.
Hey, Pops.
Yes. Yes.
Press pause.
Press pause for a second. Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Hold up. I'll be back.
Yeah. All right. There we are.
Back home. It took about an hour. Oh, and I had to raise my voice again. Why must I raise my voice, especially when someone is trying to do something that I don't agree with? I should never raise my voice. My blood pressure usually goes up like that, and I'm supposed to stay on the No Stress Express. But I am kind of overjoyed today because, you know, I've been enjoying my living within my means and attempting to make life work without me working one of those regular 8-hour jobs. Well, I got a call from the college, and they'd like me to teach a winter class in Introduction to Philosophy. And it would challenge me because it's only one class and it's during the winter semester, and I would have to teach it like I would a PACE class. And when I taught PACE classes, where you sped up the amount of information that you're providing for the student, I could do that very well with the PowerPoint. But cramming it all into making it work should be an interesting venture for me. So I'm pleased to say that I'll be able to make just a little extra money. And hopefully right in time for when I need the money, because I want to make some improvements around the house. Maybe do a little painting, changing a few windows. You know, I love the new window patterns that they have out there, and a lot of things that I'd like to get done with a few $100. So I think I'll teach that winter class, and God always provides a way. That's what I say. He always provides a way. And health-wise, I'm doing pretty good. I'm really watching my diet. I have a friend of mine coming by in about 90 minutes to take me to lunch, and that should be interesting because I love speaking with Alphonse. Alphonse is a dear friend of mine. We've been friends for years, and when he comes by, we usually make well of the afternoon. I've been thinking about shutting the website down because I don't do as much Bible as I... As a matter of fact, you're probably saying, well, I don't hear you do too much Bible at all. And let me give you an explanation of why. Because people today think that people that quote from an ancient book... Now hear me. And everything that I taught in the church, I taught from that book. Very rarely would I go to some other person's book and stand in front of the congregation and share with them. I would take them on retreats, or we would have special classes, but never from, you know, if I were the man ahead of a household, my family would only go to church if I went to church once a week. And that once a week that they would go to church would be Sunday. And that's not to give money to it, but just take your family to hear the man of God. Listen, to listen to the man of God give the word of God. Now, I know that's old-fashioned kind of thinking, because you're saying, wait a minute, surely there's something else that you gain out of going to church. No, the only reason that you're going to church is to hear the word of God. And you're not going to hear it from anyone but a man of God. A man that God called to proclaim the word. If it's the same God that has been dealing with men in all religions, God calls that man. I mean, I know that there are some religions that have female spawners. I know that. And when you look at that religion, it's. I mean, and I'm not trying to be harmful to anyone's deities or whatnot, but I would rather worship a God that is not concerned about my feelings, but more concerned about His will being done through my life. See, I don't see God as a refuge for me to hide behind when life gets too difficult and I don't know what to do. I know what to do, and I'm making, I believe, the right moves. You know, I want to paint my living room. I haven't painted it, and I'm going to have some young people paint it, my living room, my kitchen. And I can help them out if they help me out. You paint it, and I get some funds in, and what I'll do is I'll put some money in your pocket. But you got to do a darn good job. Hey, this is grassroots stuff, people. No, I don't have the money to, you know, I have a friend of mine, Quinn, and he can call any professional painter in the city of Los Angeles and have his whole house painted in a day and a half, and you can come in there and you wouldn't even know that anything was moved. I have friends that can afford to get that done. I can't. I want to see a different colorization, and guess what? I'm going to get a new couch for my living room because I want a broad couch, and so that when I watch a movie on the big screen, that I can have somebody by to watch it with me, and we can sit comfortably and enjoy an evening, just communing, talking, fellowshipping. Koinonia was the Greek term. Koinonia. People still like doing that, hanging out with other people and appreciating them. Man, I hear that Uber loses its license to operate in the city of London. Well, I haven't read that story yet, but I can only imagine. Well, see, these young companies start up, you know, you start up in... Well, that's the way things are run now, man. That is the way things are run. I wonder what's on CNN. Let's see. I'd like to see what the headline is for CNN. McCain deals blow to Obamacare. Wait. McCain deals a blow to Obamacare repeal. What does that mean? John McCain won't back Graham Cassidy bill, likely ending the GOP care push. Oh, so that means... So that means that Obamacare is going to go on and... Man, these guys are really... Well, of course it has to go on. But I'm going to see what they have to say. Let's see what they have to say here.
News in the 11th hour Republican effort to overturn Obamacare. Senator John McCain says he will vote no on the new bill being considered. I want to read his full statement. Justin, I'm reading this quote, so bear with me. He says... As I have repeatedly stressed, health care reform legislation ought to be the product of regular order in the Senate. Committees of jurisdiction should mark up legislation with input from all committee members and send their bill to the floor for debate and amendment. That is the only way we might achieve bipartisan consensus on lasting reform, without which a policy that affects one-fifth of our economy, and every single American family will be subject to reversal with every change of administration and congressional majority.
Thus far in his statement, Mr. McCain is right. That's why he's a senator, one that I've always had the greatest amount of respect for. I gained my first respect for him because, see, he's a contemporary of mine. Listen to me, youngsters. He was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. I know because during the war, I was stationed in Seoul, Korea. Now, he was stationed to fly a jet off of an aircraft carrier and go and bomb the North Vietnamese to keep the South Vietnamese government in heat, which was a puppet government set up by the United States of America and the French and the other people that was literally raping Indochina of all of its resources. When I was a young boy, 22, his jet was shot down. The VC, the Cong, the Viet Cong caught him. He was in a, oh God help us. He was in one of those things. You can see what he was in when you watch the movie about, what was that Cambodian's name? Nom Pak or something? But he was a prisoner. And they tortured him. That's why he walks with that limp, with that cripple now. They tortured him. They did that to him. And all he gave, bless his heart, was his name and serial number. He never spit in the face of this country. Never. And I remember after years of negotiation, he finally was let out of that concentration camp that they had him in. And he comes back to the United States, and the first things that he does is he kisses the soil. He loves this country. He's not going to watch hundreds and thousands of people be without some kind of care or something to help them. He's not going to have that on his conscience. No, he's not. He's a senator that can write, that can think. Let's listen to the rest of his diatribe, okay? All right.
I would consider supporting legislation similar to that offered by my friends Senators Graham and Cassidy were the product of extensive hearings, debate, and amendment. But that has not been the case.
Thank you, John, because they just trying to do something to do something. And that means that the whole institution is getting corrupt. McCain goes on and says,
instead, the specter of September 30th budget reconciliation deadline has hung over this entire process. We should not be content to pass healthcare legislation on a party line basis, as Democrats did when they rammed Obamacare through Congress in 2009.
This man should be the president. She's quoting what Senator McCain said when he filibustered the Republican attempt to snowball everything. Ha ha, he's a true patriot. That's why I love the man. Doesn't matter to me whether he's Republican, whether he's from Arizona. He's made of the same cut of mustard that I am. He's a straight shooter. Like him. Listen to what else he says, people.
If we do so, our success could be as short-lived as theirs when the political winds shift, as they regularly do.
He knows that the winds are going to shift. You see, he is a thinking senator. He doesn't follow the team. He's not a team player. Not when you're in a concentration camp being tortured. Okay? Here you are being tortured, and they want you to give more than name and serial number. They want to know what the flight plans are off that carrier that you flew that jet off of. Okay? How many carriers is in that fleet? And what are their plans to knock us out? Senator McCain said, I ain't telling you nothing. Ah! 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 Oh, that was him. Throw water in his face. Bring him to. Threw water in his face. He comes to. And they said, now you tell us the flight plans. John McCain said no. And they did this repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. You just listen to the words of a man. You people, you better know that he's one of the last. One of the last that you will ever find of his kind. Now listen to what the news commentator says about Mr. McCain.
The issue is too important and too many lives are at risk for us to leave the American people guessing from one election to the next whether and how they will acquire health insurance. A bill of this impact requires a bipartisan approach. Senators Alexander and Murray have been negotiating in good faith to fix some of the problems with Obamacare. But I fear that the prospect of one last attempt at a strictly Republican bill has left the impression that their efforts cannot succeed. I hope they will resume their work should this last attempt at a bipartisan solution fail. I cannot, in good conscience, vote for the Graham-Cassidy proposal. I believe we could do better working together, Republicans and Democrats, and have not yet really tried, nor could I support it without knowing how much it will cost, how it will affect insurance premiums, and how many people will be helped or hurt by it. Without a full CBO score, which won't be available by the end of the month, we won't have reliable answers to any of those questions.
You see how thorough he is in his investigation into this. All of these words that she's speaking were the reason why he voted no. He didn't just say no on an emotional whim. Well, no, because I don't like the other senators. I'm jealous of what they have in their house as opposed to what I have in mine. He is doing the work of a senator. He is doing the work of a senator in a democracy. You know that there are others out there that they don't run their countries like this. This is why we have them. We have your assemblymen. Let's see if I can name them in concert. Now you have your assemblymen and then your congressmen, okay? And then you have your senators, Republican and Democrat. Because everyone has to be represented. And it makes no difference what religion that senator is from. He could be an Islamic senator. He can be a Muslim senator. He can be a Hindu senator. But he must abide by the Constitution of the United States of America. You see, that's what makes this country very unique. Now, John McCain happens to be a white boy, but it don't matter to me. He's the kind of person that is a senator. I didn't hear the California senators making statements like this. The Democrats, I didn't hear them doing that. Are they saying we need a full investigation into everything? Everything. That's what he's saying. He's not a friend of CNN. He's not a friend of the Democrats. He is a Republican, but he has a mind and he thinks his own mind. Let's see what else he said in this wonderful address by saying, I'm saying no to all that bull crap.
I take no pleasure in announcing my opposition. Far from it. The bill's authors are my dear friends, and I think the world of them. I know they are acting consistently with their beliefs and sense of what is best for this country. So am I. I hope that in the months ahead, we can join with colleagues on both sides of the aisle to arrive at a compromise solution that is acceptable to most of us and serves the interests of Americans as best we can.
With that...
Absolutely.
That was fantastic. That is the John McCain that I remember. When he got off that military plane and walked on the tarmac. You find it? It's all over your internet. Way back, that was about the time when I was marrying Lucy. A little after that. I have, and you know what? A lot of people are blessed because of what he did. But he's going to suffer the wrath of whatever because his party, they're treacherous when they figure that they've been come against in some way. Well, anyhow, I want to thank you for coming by my website. Continue to come by, if you will. I have an awful lot to say about an awful lot that's going on in local government now. Everything is changing here. I guess the main priority in my life is this. I kind of have mixed emotions because, you know, if I go back to the college and teach it, you know, it's just one class and a winter class, that's all. It doesn't mean that because I don't want to settle in. I like my time off. You know, I kind of like it when my money is thin like that because it makes me save money. Trust me, there's a lot of places I have not been going to because I cannot afford to go. And so I find myself staying home a lot, watch a lot of movies, and I should start watching all the old ones all over again. That's what I should do, put all my movies in some kind of chronological order or something like that, and and put them all on, because, you know, they're in DVD movies, and just, you know, for every day that I live, it's time for me to watch this movie. I haven't seen this movie, and whenever I want to watch movies, because what I do is I find myself going through my DVDs and, oh yeah, okay, I'll watch this. I want to watch that. And hopefully by the time I shovel off this mortal coil, I would have entertained my mind enough, and I have my books to read, and his word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. And so I'm not worried about that. You know, they used to tell me, just keep reading the word of God. I read it once. I got it. I know it. That's why I don't think it necessary to go to church every week. I just don't. I recall vividly saying to the people, why don't we stay home next Sunday? It's summertime. Why don't you guys stay home, take your families to the park? You know that the officers of the church approached me and told me to stop talking like that? I said, stop talking like what? I'm suggesting as the leader of this worship community to take their families, take the money that they would bring and to this place and spend it on their families and love their families for God's sake and enjoy them and appreciate them. Wouldn't that be far better than going to church every week and giving your money to nothing? What are they doing with your money? The stuff that you've earned with. And then they're going to quote some verse, bring all your tithes to the storehouse. That's right. But let's keep that within its proper context. Who was the writer? Who was the writer writing to? Who would understand that? What is a storehouse today? The church is a storehouse? Oh, they told you that that's symbolic language? Well, yes, so is the song Fly Me to the Moon. I don't see you trying to take a jet. Come on. Don't do me like that. Leave me with some sense. See, I was one of those pastors that thought it through. I said, we're going to progressively go through this Bible, and we're going to apply what Bible we can to our lives. And I told him, everything in this Bible is not written for us to obey, because it was not written to us. But all things that were written aforetime was written for our learning. In other words, that verse meant you are to take the meaning of the text and make it applicable to your life, lest you suffer life's handicaps. Oh yes, I know what drives people. I know what drives people. And since I know what drives people, the thing that I try to do is I try to get people to get an understanding that me driving them should drive them towards success and not towards failure. That's what it's all about. Well, I think that's about it. As a matter of fact, yes, it is. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for continuously listening to me ramble on about how things are going in the world that I'm living in. And I truly trust that everything is going well in yours. Now, let me look at my formats and see if I can put this in a PACE program teaching where I can teach. Let's see. I got 3 hours, 3, 6, 9. Yeah, I can do it. Hey, I talk with you guys real soon. I'm back in the office working here. Take care. Love you.